الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran has used a particular way of address repeatedly in many places. For example, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Don't they see? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Don't they think? Don't they have any intelligence? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ Don't they reflect? I want to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us in this world to live like animals. We just eat, we drink, we sleep, and so on and so forth. Nothing beyond that. And we just move from sensation to sensation to sensation. Always seeking to have a new sensation, whatever that is, whether it's in terms of a holiday, whether it's even things which are jais, you know, but I'm not talking about taking drugs and this, that's the negative side of it, which is also the same thing, effectively. The person who's taking drugs is trying to get a new sensation. And the reason why he needs a higher and higher dose until he dies is because whatever happened before that is not enough for him, so he needs more. And so also other negative things, but I'm talking even positive things. You know, we go and we watch sports and we see games, or we do this or we do that, or we go for a holiday. Alhamdulillah, everything is good. Nothing is not haram. But effectively, it's the same thing. It's seeking sensations, one after the other. And my submission to you is that this is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. This is not the purpose of creation. Even though it might be halal, it is still not the purpose of creation. We eat foods, this food, this food, this food. We get tired of the same food every day. We need new foods, new kinds of food. Same thing. New clothes. Don't like to wear the same thing, you know, throughout the year. So must have a new. And not only new in terms of new, new in terms of style, new in terms of color, so on, so on, so on. So the whole lot. You have a car which is working perfectly fine. After a while, you get tired of it. You sell it, you get another. Why? It's still working. So, same thing is the sensation, sensation, more and more. This is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose higher than this. And that purpose is to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no true worship of Allah if we do not recognize Allah. Worship of Allah is not to make some physical movement. It's not yoga or something. You're bending and standing up and sitting down and so on and so forth. No. Alhamdulillah, we do our best. Whatever we can do, we do. This does not mean that if I am lacking in the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which always we will be, no matter how much we think we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can never reach a level of perfection in that particular area. But at the same time, it is important to keep trying and keep working on it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Afala yusirun, don't you see? Now, thing is, see what? And that is why the issue of importance of ibrat, of taking lessons. Everyone sees the same, as long as we got a pair of eyes, we see the same thing. If there are 20 people watching something, they are all seeing the same thing. But there is some people who take some lesson out of that thing which they see, which other people don't. Although they are seeing the same thing. But some people see more than the physical shape, more than whatever is happening there, the action which is taking place. They see more than that. Because they are seeing with the intelligence that they have. They are seeing with the knowledge that they have. Just to give you an example, if you go and say, for example, we go for Umrah and we look at the building of the Haram. We stand in front of the Masjid al-Haram and we see it. It's a very magnificent building, very, you know, impressive building. So we see the building, ah, mashallah, looks very nice. But if an architect goes and he sees the building, he's not only saying it looks nice. He's seeing that building from a different perspective. He is seeing the building in terms of the heights of the minars compared to the rest of the building, and what is the proportion, and why the minar should be that high and not less or more, and so on and so forth. So, he is the architect's view of that building is different from my view of the building because I do not know architecture. A structural engineer goes and he sees the same building, he has a different, he is seeing something else. If somebody who is an expert in air conditioning, he goes and sees the building and he is thinking, how do we air condition this thing when it's all open? It's not enclosed in glass or there are no windows. It's all completely open. Yet it is air conditioned. You know, so what kind of air conditioning? How do we do this and so on and so forth? So each person sees the same thing but sees it in a different way based on his knowledge. So as a Muslim, as somebody who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we see this world? There should be a difference, because if we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are seeing the world, and somebody who does not know Allah is seeing the world, there should be some difference in perception, quality of perception. What is it that we are seeing which is different from, which is new, which is has value addition over what the other person is seeing? Because if we are both seeing the same thing, then obviously something is wrong with us, because after knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also we still see the same thing, then there is a problem. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ آقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go and tour the world. Go and tour the world. And see what became of the people who came before you. So we go and we see this palace and this fort and that fort, and we see the pyramids in Egypt and we see the Sphinx and we see all sorts of things. What do we see? Actually, what are we seeing? Because if we are also seeing the same, you know, stone and mortar and whatever structures which everyone else is seeing, then what is the value of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the value of, where is the ibrat in that? Where is the lesson in that? And the lesson, one obvious lesson that we learn is that none of this jaho jalal of this world, none of this so-called power of this world lasts forever. Does not last for anyone. We know this. It's not rocket science. Everybody knows this. Everybody says this. The question is, then we take it a step further and say, therefore, how does this affect me? Because after all, I am not a king. I don't have a fort. So, how does it affect me? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, go and see what happened to the people before you? If I go and see what happened to the Pharaoh, I'm not a Pharaoh. I don't have the money that the Pharaoh had. I don't have the kingdom yet. So, what do I learn? Obviously, we learn a lesson which is even more, which is to say that if somebody who had as much as the Pharaoh of Egypt had, and if that itself was not enough for him, and if that couldn't protect him, then what I have, how will it protect me? Which is obviously minuscule. Compared to that, there is no comparison at all. But how is it? So therefore, how will this protect me? If that is what I am relying on, how is this going to protect me? We look at people who are chasing, they are running behind, you know, trying to feed themselves, feed their families and so on and so forth. And they think that, hey, unless I do this, it won't happen and so on. We do the same thing. What lesson do we learn? And if we look around us, there are lessons for us. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you reflect, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, have intelligence, think. There are lessons for us to be learnt all around ourselves. All around ourselves. There are lessons to be learnt in terms of the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one set of lessons, you see. And in the smallest things, for example, a mosquito, as somebody said, if you think you are too small to make a difference, try to sleep in a room with one mosquito. Yeah, somebody said this. Allah Alam. But anyway, he said, if you think you are too small to make a difference, try to sleep in a room with one mosquito. He makes a difference. Right? He'll make sure you can't sleep the whole night. But if you know how a mosquito finds you, right? A mosquito finds a person based on the carbon dioxide which we exhale. The mosquito senses that carbon dioxide which we exhale. Now think about that, if you are sleeping in this huge big room, right, in this huge hall, 3000 square feet or whatever, right? One person, how much carbon dioxide are you exhaling? I mean, you are not some carbon dioxide factory or something, you know. And this carbon dioxide is getting mixed up in this huge volume of atmosphere, this air. So, effectively, if you say, particle ppm, how much is that? I don't know if we even have instruments to measure it. But that mosquito will find you. That mosquito is capable of sensing that carbon dioxide, no matter how small the quantity is. Even if a small baby is sleeping, that mosquito, if there is a mosquito in that room, that mosquito will find you. See the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides him. And you are his food. Right? So if you are his food, he finds you. So you don't have to go and look for some, major, how does the elephant eat or how does the tiger eat. No, mosquito. Smallest thing. That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all these examples, of the spider and this and that. As some of our elders say, if you leave a house vacant and unoccupied for a long time, then spiders build their webs, right? So you will have a spider web in one corner, you got another spider web in another corner, and this spider is waging war on the other spider, and who is the biggest spider in this place, until the owner of the house comes in. And then he takes one broom and he sweeps, and all these wars and all these spider politics is wiped out. One sweep of the broom, and no more spiders, and no more wars, and no more spider politics. And that is the state of this dunya. That is also the state. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually compared this dunya to the Baitul Ankabut. So this dunya is like the web of the spider. And Allah said, there is nothing weaker than the house of the spider. The weakest of houses is the house of the spider. Therefore, this whole world and all of this stuff which we are seeing, the reason I am saying is that we are living in a very apparently stressful times. I mean, at least if we, those of us who, whatever, you watch the news, you read the news or something, may Allah protect us, we are living in a time where there is almost no good news. May Allah protect us every single day. And I think it's part of the reason also is the kind of reporting. I mean, these people, they don't report good things. They report only disasters, only bad things. But the other side of the story is that there are that many bad things also happening. It's not as if, they're not inventing it. What's happening in Syria, for example, there is something happening there. Okay, maybe to some extent it is exaggerated. Allah knows best, what it is. But we cannot say nothing is happening and it's all invented on television. No, it is happening. It is happening. There is, there are tyrannical rulers, and they are, committing atrocities without measure, and people are suffering and so on. So it's constantly, and we are hearing this all over the place. It is subhanallah, ajeeb. Either the economy is down and people are losing jobs, or they are on the street, or there is some problem or the other all around the world. And therefore, it is very important for us to disconnect ourselves from all of this for a little bit and think and reflect and say, all of this happening, why? What is the solution to this? What can I do to protect myself? I'm not just saying physically, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us in a place where alhamdulillah, we are okay. We are protected, we are safe. But I'm saying protect yourself mentally, protect yourself spiritually. How does this, how can we make sense of what is happening in the world today? And we can only make sense of this if we put this into perspective with what the Quran tells us, with what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. In the context of the history of the peoples of the world. As somebody said, I think Aristotle or someone, he said there is nothing new. Everything is repeats. Right? And maybe that is true, because if you look at it, there is nothing new. It is the same struggles, same reasons why those struggles are there. And people don't realize that the results also are the same, which is that oppressors never win. Oppressors always lose. There is no historical example of an oppressor who you know, won and therefore lived happily ever after. There's no ever after. At the end of the day, the oppressor will be destroyed, the oppressor will finish, and you know, it takes time. In some cases, it takes the Roman Empire lasted for 2000 years. So it's a question of, in some cases, it takes time, but happens. Net result is, it goes. And what remains is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps. And that's why it's very important for us to learn these lessons and apply them in our own lives and say, leave the empire aside, we have no empires, but in our own lives also, what will remain is what we do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest of it is a figment of the imagination. It's there. We think it's adding value. It doesn't add any value. If all that wealth of the kings didn't add value to them, what is my wealth going to add value to me? Unless I use this wealth for a positive purpose, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq to see, to look, to take lessons, to reflect, and to come to the right conclusion with regard to what pleases Him, so that all our lives and whatever little resources we have are spent only and only to seek His pleasure, and we ask Him to make this easy for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman.